Right now, I mean, there are thousands of business leaders out there who are attempting to bolt these advanced AI-powered automation tools onto companies that are, well, secretly held together by sheer willpower.
Oh, yeah. Willpower and a terrifyingly fragile web of Slack messages,
That's
honestly.
exactly. It's like they have this beautiful, frictionless dream of an AI engine just humming in the background, but it is completely disconnected from the messy, chaotic reality of how their teams actually get work done.
It is a massive disconnect. And, it creates an incredible amount of tension for these
As you
folks.
can imagine.
You have these leaders who read the headlines, right? They know they need to adopt AI. They know they need to evolve or die. But their actual on-the-ground day-to-day reality is entirely reactive.
Right, they're just trying to keep the lights on and handle like the five fires that started before breakfast.
Precisely.
And that tension is exactly what we are dissecting today. Welcome to the deep dive. Our mission today is to explore a framework we've been analyzing from a company called Playbook Ops.
Yeah, this is a really fascinating one.
It really is. Specifically, we're unpacking their five AI operations readiness levels. We're going to map out the exact step-by-step journey an organization takes from total chaotic founder dependency all the way up to true AI-enabled operational intelligence.
But we really need to set the stakes right out of the gate here. What's so interesting about the Playbook Ops approach in our sources isn't actually the software itself.
Wait, really? It's an AI operations company, though.
I know it sounds counterintuitive, but it's the psychological mapping they've done that's so critical. They've realized that adopting AI is actually a behavioral psychology problem.
Oh, wow. Not just an IT problem.
Right, exactly. This framework operates as a business operating system diagnostic engine. So it's not some, BuzzFeed style, what AI tool should you buy quiz.
Yeah, we've all seen those.
Right. Instead, it calculates an organization's overall readiness score by looking at things like workflow consistency, documentation maturity, and knowledge transfer.
Which makes total sense because if you're listening to this and you spent any time in business operations, you know that sophisticated operators can smell generic marketing language a mile away.
Oh, absolutely. They see right through it.
Like, if I take an assessment and it spits out a canned PDF that basically just says, you should buy more AI from us, I mean, I'm instantly tuning it out.
Exactly. Because it just feels like a gimmick. The sources actually call that personality test marketing.
Personality test marketing, I like that.
Yeah, it's hollow. A true diagnostic roadmap completely transforms that conversation. It breaks down into highly specific sections, so it highlights the current state of your operations. Then it flags hidden growth risks, like visibility gaps that will inevitably snap when you try to scale. It maps your next operational phase, and then it provides benchmarking.
Let's talk about that benchmarking piece for a second because it seems really strategic. I mean, it's not just throwing data at a wall, right?
No, not at all. It is pure psychology. Telling a leader, your organization's documentation maturity scored higher than 65% of your peers. Well, that reinforces their executive identity.
Oh, I see. It validates them.
Exactly. It validates the grueling, unglamorous work they've already done to build the company before asking them to undergo a massive operational change.
It honors the reality of the business because, to put it in perspective, offering someone an enterprise AI suite when they don't even have basic operations documented, I mean, it's like dropping a Formula One engine into a rusted 1998 station wagon.
Oh, that analogy is absolutely spot on.
Right, like it doesn't make the car go faster. The immediate torque literally just rips the chassis apart. The foundation cannot handle the scale of the power.
Yeah, dropping advanced AI onto an undocumented, chaotic workflow doesn't create efficiency. It just scales the chaos faster.
Automated confusion.
Exactly. Automated confusion. And that's why this framework tracks specific metrics to identify the exact operational maturity layer you need to tackle next. You are no longer selling software, right? You are selling a logical progression.
So let's walk through that progression. Let's start at the very bottom, inside that station wagon as the chassis is actively snapping in half.
Good place to start.
This is level one, which the framework designates as critical operational exposure. The score here is 0 to 39 out of 100, and the identity of the leader is the firefighter.
The firefighter. And, like all firefighters, it's a title worn out of absolute necessity, not choice.
Yeah, the reality. The sources paint here is vivid, and frankly, it's a little heartbreaking. Everything is reactive.
Everything.
The business runs almost entirely on the founder's memory, constant improvisation, and just a never-ending stream of interruptions. the emotional state is pure exhaustion.
Yeah, there was a lot of stress. And the sources actually highlight this quiet shame, too.
Oh, really?
Shame?
Yeah, where the founder is secretly looking around at the mess and thinking, maybe I'm the problem. Maybe I'm just not a good CEO.
Man, that's heavy. And their biggest fear is terrifyingly practical, right? If they unplug, even for a single day, or if their one key operations person leaves the company, the entire thing is going to collapse.
The assets.
So if I'm a level one founder, I obviously know I'm in pain, but my guess is my instinct on how to fix it is probably totally wrong.
Very likely, yeah.
I'm probably thinking, I just need to hire better people who quote unquote get it, or I need to buy that $500 a month project management software.
Yes, exactly. They think they need to add complexity to solve chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But if they try to adopt AI or complex software here, it completely stalls out.
Because the foundation isn't there?
Right. The team doesn't adopt it because there's no underlying process to map the software onto.
Hmm.
They think they need advanced solutions, but what they actually need is operational stabilization.
Okay, stabilization.
They need basic standard operating procedures. They need to capture the knowledge that's currently just locked inside their own head.
But hold on, let me play devil's advocate here for a second.
Go for it.
If a level one founder is already drowning, working like 80 hours a week just putting out fires, how on earth are they supposed to find the time to sit down and write comprehensive SOPs? Doesn't that just sound like throwing an anchor to a drowning person?
Yes, that is the exact trap. And that's why the strategic reframe for this level is so critical. You have to look them in the eye and say, you do not have an AI problem. You have an operational foundation problem.
Okay, so how do you fix the foundation without sinking them?
Mechanically, you don't ask them to write a 50-page manual.
Yeah.
At this level, the most valuable thing you can offer is a microscopic, low-friction win.
A microscopic win? Like what?
You say, next time you execute this core task, just hit record on a screen sharing app. That's it. That video becomes version 1.0 of the SOP.
Oh, wow. That's so simple.
Right. You give them a tiny sliver of breathing room. You prove that operational stabilization is actually possible without working a 90-hour week.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. You don't build the whole firehouse. You just put out the immediate blaze. So let's say they do that. They stabilize. The chaos subsides slightly. And as a result, the business actually starts to grow.
Yes. But that growth triggers the next trap.
Of course it does.
Progressing past level one doesn't mean the pain goes away. The pain just evolves.
Which brings us to level two, the dependency danger zone. The score here is 40 to 54, and the identity is the bottlenecked builder.
The bottlenecked builder.
Right. So the founder isn't running around with a fire extinguisher anymore, but now they are the central bottleneck for absolutely everything. Every decision, every PTO request, every final ad copy approval, it all has to pass through them.
It's exhausting in a totally new way.
Yeah, emotionally, the pure exhaustion of level one has mutated into this creeping anxiety about scaling. Their new fear is the bigger we get, the harder this gets.
It is the terrifying realization that you are becoming trapped by your own success.
Now, the sources mention that founders at this stage often try to hire their way out of it, right? They hire an operations manager or they try to delegate heavily. Why doesn't that work? Why do they keep falling back into relying entirely on the founder's brain?
Because they are delegating tasks, but they aren't delegating the system. Playbook Ops identifies the core missing element here as operational transferability.
Operational transferability. Let's unpack that. What does that actually look like mechanically?
Well, think about onboarding a new client. If a level two founder hires an account manager and just says, okay, onboard this client, the employee's going to fail.
Why? Because they don't have the context.
Exactly. Because the founder hasn't extracted the decision-making matrix from their own brain. The founder knows instinctively that if a client is in the finance sector, they need a specific compliance document.
Right. It's just muscle memory for them.
Yeah. But the new hire doesn't know that.
Yeah.
So operational transferability means mapping the how and the why of the work into a shared accessible system.
Hmm.
You have to completely untether the business's execution from the founder's memory.
So the reframe for the bottleneck builder is shifting the blame off the employee.
Precisely. The strategic reframe you give them is your growth problem is actually a systems transfer problem.
Wow, that's powerful.
It is. You help them realize the business simply cannot scale through their memory anymore. So you run a team workflow mapping session. You map the flow of information so the team can execute without asking the founder for permission at every single juncture.
Your growth problem is a systems transfer problem. I love that. So the founder finally manages to extract those processes from their head. They build the SOPs. The bottleneck is cured.
Yes, but...
But as the framework brilliantly lays out, solving that problem creates a completely new unforeseen danger. Welcome to level 3.
Here we go. The operational risk zone. The score here is 55 to 69, and the identity is the structured operator.
At this point, the company is actually ahead of most small to medium-sized businesses, right? They value systems. They have SOPs. They have separate departments functioning somewhat autonomously.
True. They're doing well.
But here is the massive catch. Having systems is not the same thing as having connected systems.
Right. They have 10 different departments running 10 different pieces of software that are entirely blind to one another.
It feels like having an orchestra filled with brilliant, world-class musicians. The string section has their sheet music. The brass section knows how to play perfectly, but there is absolutely no conductor on the stage.
That's a great visual.
And worse, the string section is playing Beethoven and the brass section is playing jazz in completely different tempos.
That is a phenomenal way to visualize it. And emotionally, the founder's fear at level 3 shifts entirely.
Mm.
They aren't worried about internal collapse anymore. The internal operations are relatively stable. Their fear has shifted outward. They are looking at the market and thinking, AI is moving incredibly fast. Our competitors are adopting it, and we are going to get left behind.
Ah, the FOMO sets in. So they panic. And let me guess, the trap here is that they try to solve the lack of a conductor by just buying a massive overarching AI tool to govern everything.
That is exactly what they do. They think, we have the data, we have the tools, let's just buy an AI to sit on top of it all.
Which doesn't work.
No, because if your CRM software doesn't talk to your inventory management software, an AI can't optimize your sales pipeline. It will just confidently sell products you do not have in stock.
Oh, geez. That sounds like a nightmare.
It is. You cannot lay a foundation of artificial intelligence over a fractured, disconnected process.
So what's the mechanism to fix it? How do they get out of level 3?
They need operational orchestration. That means doing the unglamorous technical work of getting those disparate systems to talk to each other.
Like building integrations.
Exactly. Building the APIs, mapping the data flow so that an action in marketing automatically updates the system in fulfillment. The strategic reframe you deliver to the structured operator is profound. AI advantage comes from operational orchestration, not tool adoption.
It's not about the tools. It's about the communication between the tools. That is such a vital distinction.
It really is the turning point.
Okay, so they install the conductor, they orchestrate their workflows, the systems talk to each other. That elevates the company to level 4, operationally stable. The score is 70 to 84. And the identity is the scalable leader.
This is a highly enviable state for any business. The core question for leadership fundamentally shifts here.
Right. They're no longer asking, how do we survive or how do we stabilize?
Exactly. They're asking, how do we move faster?
The momentum is palpable. SOPs are adopted. Teams execute independently. And founder dependency is incredibly low. The emotional state is confident. They have this strong desire to not just compete, but to lead the market.
Yes. They want to lead.
But the framework says there's still a missing link before they can truly become an AI powerhouse.
Yeah, they have structure, they have delegation, and they have orchestrated workflows.
Mm-hmm.
But they still have pockets of manual coordination. They are still looking in the rearview mirror to make decisions.
So they're still somewhat reactive.
Exactly. They think their next step is aggressive AI deployment and analytics. But their true missing link is what Playbook Ops defines as operational intelligence.
Okay, stop right there. Let's strip away the jargon for a second.
Yeah.
Because operational intelligence sounds like something a consultant charges $100,000 just to say.
Huh. Fair enough.
What does that actually look like mechanically on a Tuesday afternoon for a mid-level manager?
Let's make it concrete. Without operational intelligence, a manager finds out about a massive supply chain delay because, well, a client calls them.
Right, and the client is already furious.
Furious, wondering where their product is. The manager then has to manually dig through 3 different systems just to figure out what happened. Totally reactive. But with operational intelligence, specifically predictive operational visibility, the system flags the delay before it even happens.
How?
The AI is reading the supplier's automated emails, cross-referencing it with current inventory levels, and popping an alert onto the manager's dashboard on Tuesday afternoon that says, Supplier X is delayed. Reroute fulfillment to supplier Y now to avoid missing Friday's client deadline.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's a difference between having a map that tells you where you are and a GPS that actively reroutes you around a traffic jam before you even see the brake lights.
That is exactly it. That is AI-enhanced execution. They are primed for true competitive differentiation now.
So what's the reframe for them?
The reframe you give to a scalable leader isn't about fixing a broken process anymore. You tell them the next competitive advantage is operational intelligence. You position the next step as a massive force multiplier for their performance.
Which brings us to the absolute pinnacle of the framework. We've navigated the whole journey. This is level 5. The score is 85 to 100. And the identity here is the AI-leveraged organization.
It is rare air. I mean, most companies simply will never reach this level.
When operational intelligence is fully realized, AI ceases to be just a tool you use. It's not, you know, a piece of software you log into. It becomes embedded into the very DNA of the company.
It's invisible, almost.
Right. Documentation isn't a separate chore you do on Fridays. It is completely, seamlessly embedded into the daily workflows. And the emotional driver here is fascinating to me.
How so?
It's no longer about seeking relief from chaos. It's not even just about steady growth. It is pure, unadulterated ambition for absolute market dominance.
Oh, absolutely. They want asymmetric advantage. They aren't looking for a 5% increase in efficiency to save a few bucks.
They want to crush the competition.
They are looking to completely and utterly outpace the competition so that competing with them feels fundamentally unfair.
You know, I was looking at the brand colors and the logo for Playbook Ops in our source files, and it suddenly made perfect sense in the context of this level 5 state.
Really? What's the logo?
The logo is this really vibrant blue and green play button. It's all forward motion. And that completely mirrors the level 5 organization. It's about pure forward momentum. It's continuous, dynamic execution.
That's a brilliant connection. And the strategy for engaging with a company at this level completely changes too.
Right, because you aren't saving them anymore.
Exactly. You aren't nurturing a struggling lead or rescuing an overwhelmed founder. This is about executive collaboration and strategic partnership.
So what do you tell them?
The final reframe you deliver is, the winners of the next decade will operationalize AI faster than competitors. It's all about AI-enabled competitive compounding.
Compounding, right, like interest.
Yes. If they stop evolving, someone else will compound those micro-efficiencies faster and eventually eat their market share.
So if we pull all the way back, if we look at this entire journey from the burning station wagon all the way to the F1 race car, the massive strategic insight hiding within all these sources is that true AI readiness has almost nothing to do with artificial intelligence.
That is the paradox at the heart of it all. It's amazing.
It's about operational maturity. Playbook Ops isn't selling a magic AI pill. They've built a diagnostic framework that forces leaders to confront the very real operational, behavioral, and emotional reality of their business at every single stage of its life.
From the exhausted firefighter all the way up to the dominant AI-leveraged leader.
Exactly.
And that is the crucial takeaway here. Recognizing which of these 5 identities you currently hold is the only way to ensure that your next move actually solves your deepest bottleneck.
Because if you diagnose it wrong, you just make it worse.
Exactly. If you are a level 1 firefighter, buying an enterprise AI tool will drown you. It will break your company.
And on the flip side,
if you are a level 4 scalable leader, spending weeks writing basic SOPs will bore your team to tears and stall your momentum. You have to know your exact coordinates on the map before you can plot the next destination.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, a little thought experiment based on everything we've uncovered today.
I love thought experiments.
If you're listening to this right now, look at your own workflows tomorrow morning. If you were forced to completely remove yourself from your business for one entire month, no phone, no email, no logging into Slack to answer a quote-unquote quick question, which of these 5 levels would your operations default to?
That is a scary question for a lot of people.
It is. And ask yourself honestly, is your current tech stack secretly hiding the foundational cracks in your operation, or is it actually fixing them?
It's the most important question a leader can ask themselves today.
Thanks for taking the deep dive with us. We'll see you next time.